good one for me.
This one.
Today is Sunday.
The first Sunday of this.
And yet, this month, Louise's birthday, my wife Louise is her birthday. This month is also our daughter's birthday. This month, and the Lord help me. That's good. Well, it's a pleasure being here this morning, and it's a pleasure to be able to stand and share God's word, and I hope you have the Bible with you. We're going to look at some scripture, and I want to say that, like you all, that we've been praying intensely for Pastor Joe, Pastor Aisha, and the family, and I want to just remind us that we're on a journey together in terms of the kingdom. We're on a journey. And on this journey, all kinds of things could happen. You read church history. You read church history, and some of the men and women of God who have gone through church history, as we go through this history, all kinds of things happen. And remember this, it is a battle, it's a fight that we go through. But we should never, ever be fair. Because we are people of hope, and we are people of faith, and we are people who look to Jesus, who is the author and the beginner of our faith. Okay, so we must be encouraged and understand that God's will be done in all our lives, in history, in this nation. His will is always being done, whatever that happens. It's interesting because I've been greatly challenged by the whole fact that in the 21st century that people need to get clarity about our Christian faith. What is a Christian? That's one of the big questions today. Who is a Christian? That's another big question in the 21st century about the Christian faith. Defining Christians. Defining the fruits of Christianity. Defining if, you know, what is the authentic thing about Christianity? Who is an authentic Christian? And we need to really sit back and ask ourselves these questions, because people outside in our society are asking those questions all the time. I go on the streets and I'm out there doing street passes and I meet people. And the discussions we have at 1, 2 in the morning is incredible. We did a study some years ago and they said, there is more conversation about Christianity between 12:30 and 2 o'clock in the morning. And guess what age group you're asking those questions? 18 to 25. And that's the age group that's largely missing from the church across the United Kingdom. But between 12:30 and 2 o'clock, they are asking this question. Does God exist? Is Christianity real? Did Jesus really rise from the grave? Is Jesus coming again? What is a Christian? Who is a Christian? And these are people who at times have been brought up in the church. And as a young age, they're asking those fundamental questions about Christianity. But let me tell you this, they're asking those questions because they're getting very little answers. They're asking those questions because they're not seeing authentic Christianity. They're asking those questions because the church has confused them largely about Christianity and about the doctrine of Christ. Isn't it interesting in the 21st century that people know more about what we, the church, is against than what we're for? Isn't it interesting? People could tell you, well, the church is not agreeing with that. The church doesn't like that. The church is against that. But what is it that the church believes? What is it we believe in? What is it? And so I want to challenge us and encourage us at the same time today to be encouraged. Because all what we believe is right here in the Bible. All what we hope for is right here in the Bible. Right here. Our hope is in the Bible. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. The incarnational ministry of God, God coming in the flesh and dwelling amongst us, eating amongst us, walking amongst us, feeling our pains, understanding our disappointments, and yet willing to die for us, willing to suffer for us, willing to be a curse for us, willing to go through the pain and the agony for us. And yet we know he didn't stop on the cross. But we know that there was a resurrection. And we know there was an ascension. And we look forward with great anticipation for his return. We know that one day Jesus will return. One day the dead in Christ will rise. One day we who remain will be caught up to meet him like a twinkling in an eye. Those are fundamentals of our faith. Those are things that should challenge us to live for Jesus. Those are things that should challenge us to be excited about Jesus and loving him and serving him and living for him. And so if we don't have those things, and if we're in doubt with those things, then our lives is in trouble. That's why in John's Gospel, in John chapter 21 and verse 15 to 18, Jesus had an encounter with Peter. Peter, you've been following me for 3.5 years. Peter, you're my disciple. But Peter, do you love me more than these? 3 times, Jesus challenged Peter. Peter, how committed are you to me? Peter, are you willing to die for my cause? Peter, one day you will die, Peter. And we've got to understand that as we serve the Lord, the challenge not only just to serve him in health, but to serve him in conflict, in affliction, in suffering, there's a challenge to be faithful to the end. But I want to challenge us this morning. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So all of us this day, this morning, whether we're online or whether we're right here physically, all of us, if you're a Christian, should be able to declare, I've had a transforming experience with Jesus. Jesus has saved me. Jesus has forgiven me. Jesus has cleansed me of all my sins. Jesus has come to dwell in me in the power and through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus' word that's in my heart, as David declares. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. It's Jesus. And it's Jesus we love. As the scripture says, it's in Jesus that we live and move and have our being. It's in Jesus. So every day we walk, every day we get up in the morning, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus at work. It's Jesus on the bus. It's Jesus in times of difficulties. It's Jesus in times of pain and suffering. It's Jesus in great times. It's Jesus. I'm not a fanatic. I'm just in love. I'm in love with Jesus. I love Jesus because he first loved me. Because he loved me unequivocally, unreservedly. Hear what the Bible says, he so loved us that he demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We need to rediscover our excitement and excitement about our love for Jesus and his love for us. I meet so many Christians today and they're wishy-washy.
Don't know whether they're coming or going. Don't know whether they're up or they're down. Or they're in or they're out. But you see, when you're in love with someone, you're excited about it. You're excited about being in their presence. You're excited about talking to them. You're excited about living for them. You're excited to be a witness for them because you're in love. You're in love. And we're in love. Well, we should be in love with Jesus. We should be in love with Jesus. And that's one of the reasons why we come this morning, because we want to show our gratitude to Jesus and we want to come and express it, that we love him with all our hearts and we appreciate his goodness. We appreciate when we go through that he's with us. But let me share with you this morning. You see, our society is looking for that transformed life that says, I'm a Christian. The word, or some of the definition for the word authentic, is genuine. People are looking for genuine Christian, real people. Real people. You know, sometimes you meet Christians and every minute they're speaking in tongues. I don't always speak in tongues, I speak in patois too. But I've got to be real, I've got to be real. People want to know real people. And real people, you know, display all kinds of things because they're real. But they're sincere. People, authentic, one of the definitions for authentic is unquestionable. Unquestionable in character. Unquestionable in commitment. Unquestionable in terms of their faithfulness and their loyalty. That's Christian. That's real Christianity. That's authentic Christian. But not only that, one of the other definitions is evidence. Evidence. I could talk and tell you about Jesus. I love Jesus. I praise Jesus. But people want to see the evidence. Doesn't the scripture tells us, by their fruits you shall know them. Don't tell me you're part of CLF. Tell me that I'm trying to live for Jesus. Tell me that I'm trying to bring fruits that display the characteristics of Jesus. Yes, I fall and I fail, but I'm going to get up again. Because I'm determined to live for Jesus. There has to be evidence. Not false. Not false. Not a copy. You cannot manufacture Christianity. It's either real or it's false. It's either truthful or true or false. And in the 21st century, not only is Jesus looking for authentic Christians, but our society and our world are looking for men and women who are authentic. They're not looking for perfect people. We will never be perfect until we meet Jesus. But we thrive and strive for perfection. I try to live holy and righteous. I try to live upright. And I fail sometimes. You just ask my wife. But there's something in my heart that says, hey, I want to live pure and holy before God. What you see on Sundays, what's going to happen throughout the week. And that's what the world is looking for. And that's what being authentic is. There are three distinction about an authentic Christian. Number one, they are called. They are called. Let me tell you this. You're not here in church on Sunday because you wanted to. You heard a call from Jesus. There had to be a time when Jesus called you. And if you're not called, you listen today and you'll hear that call. I remember the first time that I heard a call from Jesus. And I didn't know it was Jesus. I didn't know God was calling me. I didn't know that God loved me like this. I didn't know that God was interested in me. But the first time I heard a call, I was in the West End of a place in Wardour Street, just near Chinatown. I was in a nightclub. 3:30 in the morning in a nightclub. 3:30. Had a big spliff in my hand. Wasn't particular about Jesus. I served a man called Selassie. And as I walk across this room, I heard a voice saying, "You don't belong here. You don't belong here." And I said to myself, "Boy, you must be black up, you know." Just for the benefit of those of you listening, I said, "You must be blocked up. That means I'm on a high." And I thought I was hallucinating. Ganja was tough that night. But I heard a voice. I heard a voice. A voice that was louder than the sound system. And when I became a Christian, I began to reflect on that experience. And the question I asked myself in my reflection, what was God doing in the nightclub? 3:30 in the morning. He was calling me. "Les Isaac, come on." I remember on another occasion, I met a friend, and I was used to go and meet with my friends at 3:30 in the afternoon in Primrose Hill in Northwest London, and we used to go to meet to smoke. And I met a friend, a guy that I knew from school, and he was a Christian. And I remember this guy opening the book of Proverbs and quoting to me and talking about Jesus, sharing the word of God to me. "There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but at the end thereof are the ways of death." It was God calling me. Here the Bible says, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. God is always calling people. God is, whether we're sitting in our front room, whether we're in the car, whatever we're doing, God is calling people today. And today, the first Sunday of Advent, thousands will come to know Jesus, and thousands will respond to that call. They will come to Jesus. As this guy spoke to me, he spoke to me about Jesus, and I was giving him all this thing about Selassie and all this thing. And I remember going to a place and we were smoking and beating drums. And the only thing that I could reflect upon was those words that the guy quoted to me. Because God's word is sharp and powerful. God's words pierce the heart. God's word brings us to a place when we see ourselves. And God brings us to a place where he says, "I'm calling you." And then yet we make a decision to come to him. God calls us, just as he called his disciples, Andrew and Simon and Peter, "Follow me." God is calling you and I to follow him. He wants to take us on an adventure where you and I will follow him, and we'll follow him into his purpose. We'll follow him into his will. We'll follow him into his grace. And I thank God that I followed him into his church, into the body of Christ. And I want to tell you something. The ultimate purpose of the church is to bring glory and honor to Jesus. God's called us into his church that you and I, our lives, our ministry, our gifts, our skills could bring glory and honor to him. We've got to remind ourselves, it's not an aimless business. There is a purpose why God has called you and I into the kingdom. There is a purpose. There's a significant purpose. Only you could fulfill that purpose. We have missed it as Christians. We have missed it over the last four decades. We have missed real opportunities to speak and share Jesus to people because we've been emphasizing on the wrong things. But you see, I honestly believe that we have missed it because we have forgotten that Jesus has called us and he is making us into authentic people. He is making us into people who will be called by his name. Let me just remind you again in the book of Ephesians, "And you he made alive who were dead in your trespasses and your sins, in which we once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, amongst whom we also once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath." That's where God has called us from. Come on. Something that we need to be excited. God has called us from mess into hope, into cleansingness, into righteousness, into peace, into purpose. He's called us. God's called us, and He is still calling us. Hear this, for we are His workmanship. He's called us and He's doing something in us. He's making something in us. He's developing something in us. How many times have we been thinking to ourselves, I never knew I could do that? How many times have you been surprised in the things that you find yourself doing? It's because of God. It's because God is making you and shaping you, that you may bring honor and glory to Him. So we've been called. But the second thing that an authentic Christian recognizes is that they've been chosen. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you, that God has said. And if God has chosen, just think about it. God has chosen me. God has chosen you. One of the first questions I asked God in my second prayer, I said, God, why me? I was such a lousy guy. I was a guy who messed up. I was a guy who was the worst of the worst. The guy who my mother had to come for me at the age of 11 to bail me from jail. The guy who was, you know, doing all kinds of crime and all kinds of things. I was that guy. I said, God, why me? You know, it's an honor and a privilege to be a Christian. Do you know that? It's an honor and privilege to be a Christian, to be a son of God. Now are we sons of God. God's chosen us. And we need to spend more time reflecting on the fact that God has chosen me with all the millions of people, with the 1.5 billion people in the world. I am part of the people who call upon the name of Jesus and is serving Jesus. Me. I've been chosen by God. As an individual, I've been chosen. And I've been chosen by God to bring honor to Jesus. I've been chosen by God to share the greatest message the world could ever receive. I've been chosen by God to be a carrier of that message. I've been chosen by God to do that. Isn't it wonderful? To share the greatest message that the world has ever heard, God's chosen me. To be salt and light in this world, God has chosen me. God has chosen you today. God has chosen you, Roger. He's chosen you. He's called you. God has chosen us. What a privileged position to be in. You know what I say? We don't choose the family we were born in. But yet each and every one of us had an opportunity to make a decision to respond to Jesus. But the fact is God chose us to come in. Do you know how many people are not saved outside the kingdom? Do you know how many people who are going to live outside of the grace and the power and the life of God? And yet God has chosen us. God's called us. God's called you. We're here. It's a privilege. I've been chosen by Jesus. I've been chosen by Him. You remember the old guy Zacchaeus in a tree? The old story, the guy who was a bit of a charlatan, the guy who's a crook, and Jesus walks past and looks up on the tree and he sees Zacchaeus. He said, hey, Zacchaeus, come down. Tonight salvation has come to you. Everybody in the crowd vexed. Some of them said, the man's a thief. He's a crook. But then Jesus says, he also is a son of Abraham. And it doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter where we've come from. We are also sons of Abraham. And we've got to rejoice in that. We're going to be excited about that. Some people say they have hang-ups because people are prejudiced against them. They have hang-ups because they're male or female. I said, may get or break you in Jesus. The most exciting thing that's ever happened to you. My color of my skin doesn't define me. My gender doesn't define me. My education or my position doesn't define me. But my definition is in Christ. I'm a son. I'm an heir. I'm a joint of the kingdom of God. We need to be excited about that. We need to be excited about that. We need to recognize who we are. I have some friends and some guys that I do some work with, and it's interesting. People do different things. They think differently according to where they went to school. One of our guys said to me, Les, when I went to my school, he went to a public school, he said, they taught you this. One of the first things they taught you, you're top of the top. They didn't call each other John and Bill and Fred. They call each other Mr. And by the time they left school, their chest, they walked in a certain way. I have some friends, and when they stop, their posture alone tell you, listen, me or somebody, you know. And I meet some Christians sometime, and they go on digga digga. You ever heard that expression? Huh? They go on like, you know, they're, oh. Mash up. Come on, guys. Guys, we've had the most powerful thing happen to us in our lives. And it's not the fact that we got married or a new job or a higher wage salary. It's not that. We've been chosen by God. Oh, boy. You see, Mary got it, you know. Mary got it. Oh, boy. God saw favor on me, she said. Wow, God has shown me favor, Mary says. I am blessed. We need to rediscover our excitement about we have been chosen by God. So we become strong people. So we become authentic because people see this. I was in a meeting in New Scotland Yard, and I was on the 11th floor with the majority of senior officers there, and we were talking about police in London and the challenges and everything. And I remember in that meeting, because wherever I go, number one, I'm always a Christian. I'm not undercover. I'm not a secret agent. I'm always a Christian. Come on. There's no special badge. There's no, you know, 007, license to kill or license to do nothing. Come on, I'm always a Christian. I love my faith. I love Jesus. I do. And I'm always seeking opportunities. So I'm on the 11th floor with these guys, these men and women, and afterwards, after the conversation, I just said, hey, I beckoned to the chair, and I said, Chair, could I say something? And I remember saying to those men and women there that I appreciate the tension, the struggles, them putting themselves in harm's way every day. But I said, I'm a minister, I'm a Christian. I believe in prayer. Can I pray? I would like to pray. I acknowledge that some of you have no faith and some of you have other faith. But I'm here. Because I know what God can do. But listen to one of the senior officers said to me afterwards. He said, Les, it's obvious that you believe what you preach. You believe it. Brothers and sisters, we've got to get to the place when we recognize we're authentic, we're passionate about what we believe. We're passionate about what we read. And the third thing that an authentic Christian must realize is that God's called them to be faithful. Faithful. God's called us to be faithful. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Listen, when I get to heaven, man, I'm going to bunks in there, you know. I can't wait to get there, man. I told Louise, listen, Louise, anything happened to me, just do a little bit of crying. But me gone. I'm living to meet Jesus one day. I'm living to meet Jesus one day. I'm living. And I'm asking God every day to be faithful. Someone who's faithful is strict through their performance of duty. They're concerned. They understand their duty and they're strict in terms of their commitment and their performance of duty. They are faithful workers. They are true to one word. They hold their promises. They are people who make vows and people who are loyal. That's an authentic Christian. You can rely on him or her. a faithful Christian is a prayer. Listen to what Mother Teresa says. The fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of faith is love, and the fruit of love is service. The fruit of service is peace. When we are faithful, we will be prayers. When we are faithful, we'll be faithful in our service. Listen to what William Booth says about faith, being faithful and commitment. He says this: while women weep as they do now, I will fight. While children go hungry as they do now, I will fight. While men go to prison in and out as they do now, I will fight. While there is drunkard left, where there is the poor girl upon the street, while there remains one dark soul without the light of God, I will fight, I will fight, I will fight to the very end. That's faithfulness. That's a man who recognizes that our society has challenges. That's a man who also recognizes that he has to be faithful to the calling. He has to be faithful to what God is saying. He has to be faithful to the needs of our society in the 21st century. Listen, God is not looking for Christians who are just faithful 1 week or 1 month and just move away. God is looking for faithful people. Our society is in a mess. Our society is in a mess, so our society needs men and women to pray for it. Our society is in a mess, so it needs men and women who will go into our society and be salt and light. A friend of mine came from Ghana, and he rang me and said, let's touch base. I said, yeah, okay, I'm going to be in Charing Cross tonight. I got an appointment at 9 p.m. He said, 9 p.m.? What kind of ministry is that? I said, you just meet me. So we met outside South Africa embassy, and we went over to our first meeting was at the police station. And we met at the police station talking about how do we help people who are vulnerable, and how do we meet the needs of people in our society who come out to get drunk or come out to steal or come out to cause damage to people. That's ministry. And then from there, we took a taxi to a club called Tiger Tiger. You guys don't know that club. So we rocked up at Tiger Tiger at 10:30. Man, I was so excited. I'm in Tiger Tiger. So I got so excited, I text my daughter. I said, hey, honey, guess where your daddy is tonight? Daddy's in Tiger Tiger. So 5 minutes later, I had a ping, and it was my daughter. She said, Dad, I know that you still have it in you. Come on. God wants us to be faithful. And God wants us to go to places and to be in places where we could share Jesus, where we could see his kingdom come, where we could see his will be done. That's the kingdom. Last night I was patrolling in London Bridge last night in the market square in London Bridge in the train station. And I was there with people last night and just meeting people. You see, God wants us to be faithful there as well. God wants us to be where people are so we can be people of hope. Listen to what William Booth says, writing, responding to an inquiry that he had. He said, I consider that the chief danger which confronts the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost. Christianity without repentance. Salvation without God. And heaven without hell. And he wrote that on the 10th of April, 1829. And I tell you something, those things are reality today. Because you see, we've lost it. A good part of the church, we've lost it. Religion without the power of the Holy Spirit. Christianity without repentance. Salvation without God. Heaven without hell. An authentic Christian has got hold of God and says, I recognize that God has called me out of darkness into marvelous light. That God has put my feet on the King's highway. That God is doing something in me that my life may bring honor and glory to His name. That I'm willing to be faithful right to the end. I'm going to be faithful. To the day that He says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. I want to challenge us. We're going to take communion later on. But I want to challenge us. Jesus made the sacrifice. And He's calling us to make a sacrifice as well. He's calling us to lay down our lives that He may pick it up and use it and bring honor and glory to His name. I want to be authentic. I want to be the real thing. The real thing. The real deal. I want to see Jesus' name exalted and lifted up. Because that's the name that's above every other name. That's the name that every knee shall bow. That's the name that every tongue shall confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The name of Jesus. And my life is a carrier of Jesus. My life. Let me conclude with this wonderful song by a woman called Fanny Crosby. A hymn. Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation. I'm purchased by God. I'm born of His Spirit. I'm washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song. I will praise Him, my Savior, all the day long. Let's pray. And Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for those who are listening and watching online. I thank You for those of us who are here in this place. And so God, as You have spoken to us, may we respond to Your call. May we acknowledge that You have chosen us. And may You help us to be faithful. Lord, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that God, we will respond to Your call and we will humble ourselves. We will bend our knees and our hearts and our spirits and we will say to You, Thy will be done. We will say to You, shape us, mold us, and make us. We will say to You, renew our minds. We will say to You, because we have fell down, help us up. Father, we love You. Lord, we need You. And so, Lord, right now, help us as we respond to You in the name of Jesus. If you want to respond to God in any way, just stand up. I want to pray for you. You're responding to God. People are standing up. You could stand up as well online. As an acknowledgement, if you can't stand, you can stand where you are. If not, maybe you're on the move. Just humble your spirit. I'm going to ask the Lord right now to take us up and to use us. Use us in a powerful way. Use us in a way that will totally blow all of our expectation. He's able to do far more abundantly above all that we ever ask or ever imagine. Father, we're standing before You. We're humbling ourselves before You. please help us. Please have mercy upon us. Please renew our strength that we may mount up with wings as eagles. Lord, we know that we are subject to failures. We know that we have failed. We have disappointed you. We have failed you. We know that. You know that as well. But God, I thank you because you're a restorer. And I pray that you restore us and that you strengthen us and that we may grip you and you will grip our hands and that we may move forward in a new grace, in a new anointing, in a new sense of purpose, in a new call with new conviction. Father, help us, strengthen us in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Les, for that word.